Adoration, beauty, conversion, discernment, excitement, family, generosity, hope, intimacy, joy, kindness, leaven, moments, nativity, openness, psalms, quest, renewal, searching, truth, unity, vespers, women, willingness, Xavier, yearning, zeal. To find which letter they are on, go to CatholicVitamins.com. Every weekend, Tom and Dee share Catholic life from A to Z.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
It's Friday. What are we doing in the podcast palace on Friday?
I don't know. We changed our day to Saturday. Now we're changing it to Friday. We're just going to keep backing up. Actually, we're doing this. Oh, first, hello.
Oh, hi. My name is Deacon Tom. Would you like to get married?
I'm Dee. And we're starting this on Friday because I'm not going to be around on Saturday. More about that in a minute. So we thought we'd get an early start.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And you are in the high chair. I don't mean that in the juvenile sense. You're in the chief poobah chair, and I'm
sitting. I am, and this is really high. I could hardly get my feet were hardly touching the floor.
Well, I'm trying to rearrange the office among 13 other jobs that I've got lined up, but you've got my chair today.
Right.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, everyone. We are so glad you're with us.
This is Catholic Vitamin G, or Genesis.
Genesis. Well, who's our guest? And then
Heather Anderson Renshaw.
The word Genesis means the origin or mode of formation of something. And the example I've got here on the screen is, this tale has its genesis in fireside stories. Well, we're not going to bring you a fireside story today. We are going to bring you sort of the life journey of Heather Anderson Renshaw, a delightful young Catholic wife and mother. I think she has five children, if I remember correctly. She and her husband have five children. She is a blogger, and we'll get into all that background with her. She also has visions of doing some writing elsewhere. I think she's working on a book, but more on that during the interview. We're glad to have you with us, dear listeners. And Dee, we've been doing some work on our website.
We have. In fact, I was going to offer a new, offer anybody the list for musicians and singers if they wanted it, like we did once before, but I don't have to do that now, because on the new website, all you have to do is click on guests, and you'll be able to see who's in the musician and singer category. And
we're at the 5.5 year mark on our show, and it has come to our attention a couple different ways that people have had trouble finding out what we've been about and who we've had on the show, what our topics have been. And there's a young high school graduate in our area who we think may be headed towards Franciscan University and may have a vocation to the priesthood. All that, of course, is in his future walk, but we're praying for him. His name is Timothy.
And he's a techie.
And he is a tech wizard. So he's done some work, and we're going to have a little bit more done. Looks like we'll be done ahead of our 6th anniversary, which is like the end of August.
Yeah. So we'd like to have some feedback as to whether you think it makes the website a little more user-friendly with these tabs that we're putting up there for guests and for the different vitamins. And although we just found out he's actually published it, put it into practice right now, but we've discovered last evening that we're missing a few names from the early guests. So we're going back to correct that.
Sure. And we're going to add a photo gallery with some of the more well-known people that have been on the show.
Right. Be kind of like a slideshow thing. speaking of former guests and former people that we've had in one way or another on the show, that little ditty there at the beginning.
Oh, yes.
That was our friend Sean McGaughey up in Ontario, Canada.
We haven't talked with him in quite a while. Haven't heard from him. I wonder what he's doing.
He did that for us a long time ago, and we thought it would be fun to play it again. It's kind of cute. He went through the whole first round of the alphabet that we did.
Back in what?
We started in 2009, so 2009 into 2010.
Yeah, right, right. Dear, what else do we have in our prattle segment?
Well, Lent has begun.
It has. I'm off. I don't mean to sound like I'm bragging, but I'm off to a good start. I'm really accomplishing some of the things that I wanted to do, part of which is to continue my spiritual development and try to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. And I've been taking the evenings after supper to spend time, in this case, with the Alpha program. Have you've heard us talk about that,
Dee? Right. I watched one video segment about it.
So I've been watching that, and the beginning of it is sort of like, is there historical evidence for Jesus, how to pray, and what people thought about Jesus. It's really very wonderful, and I'm also trying to improve my prayer life a little bit. You and I are giving up coffee an extra day a week, which does not please me at all.
You used to be like one night a week, Friday night, you'd say, oh, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. Because you had been off coffee all day Friday.
Right.
And so you were looking for it. Now it'll be like two nights a week I'll be hearing this.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hey, speaking of Lent and things, I have a little bit of feedback here.
Okay.
This came in from Emily in Indiana. Beautiful podcast, Deacon Tom and Dee. This tired mama and student is entering for a chance to win a wonderful pick-me-up from the skipper. She's talking about the coffee. We generally order from Providence Coffee and just love supporting our Catholic businesses and the work they do. Dee, you never revealed your Lenten sacrifice. What is it you plan on giving up? I will be putting down chocolate. It just makes me sad writing that. And taking up morning prayer. I recently ordered the book Christian Prayer to replace our Magnificat subscription, and I'm looking forward to starting it. Crossing my fingers for some coffee. God bless you all, Emily. Well, Emily, your name is in the basket for the coffee drawing, which we'll talk about later. And my sacrifice that I didn't say what I was going to do.
Go ahead.
Well, I am planning to some weekend soon, driving up to Winslow, Arizona, which is about 90 miles north to us. People have heard us talk about this before. Madonna House has a field house up there. And I am going to go up and spend 24 hours in Pustinia. Would you like to tell them what Pustinia is?
Pustinia is a Russian word brought into the vocabulary of Madonna House by Catherine Doherty. She had Russian roots. And it means, the word Pustinia means desert. And so it's like going into the desert, and Dee will be in a completely alone sort of setting for 24 hours, or maybe a little bit more if she wishes. And she'll have tea and coffee. And
bread and crackers, maybe.
Yeah, bread and crackers and water. And the idea is you don't take in your phone, you don't take in an iPod, you don't take anything.
You leave the world behind.
And you go in with Scripture. You and the Lord God. So I think it's a wonderful thing that you're considering doing, and we will really be anxious to bring the results of that, your feelings about that, once you have completed your Pustinia.
Yeah, and one of our Faith Travelers members just emailed just yesterday and said, when am I going? When am I doing it? Because they want to be praying for me while I'm doing this.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, that's our first segment, and we'll be back.
This is your weekly Bible supplement. Catholic Vitamins with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
We've been talking about the liturgical calendar, the kernel of which the Catechism tells us is our Sunday. So as I was saying, God understands that even just our regular work through our vocation and then our employment, whatever it is that we do on a weekly basis, if we're doing it as unto God, we are tired. We need the rest. God gave us the Sabbath as a sign of the covenant of creation, that he prepared a home for us, and then he filled it with beautiful things, and then he rescued us when we fell into slavery for us to sin. He rescued us from our sin place. For them it was Egypt. For us it is our past, usually the sins that have enslaved us. He has rescued us from our sin through Christ. And so we keep Sunday, but on Sabbath or on our Sunday, we worship and we rest. The two are intertwined and completely inseparable, actually. So that part of rest is worship and part of worship is rest. So Sunday for us, our day's quote of obligation, as the church calls it, it is both rest and worship. And remember that this Sabbath sign was supposed to be observed forever. And so we bring it forward in Christ into the church. And so we rest on Sunday. Sunday was made for us, not us for Sunday. We don't keep Sabbath anymore. If you look in Revelation 1:10, St. John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That was a euphemism for Sunday, the day of worship, or the new Sabbath. We keep the Lord's Day, as the apostles called it, on Sunday, because that's the day Jesus completed his work on the cross. His work. He completed his work on the cross and all of his 33 years of ministry on the cross. And then he rose from the dead on that eighth day, Sunday. That day is a forward-looking memorial to the promised land of rest of heaven in the bosom of the Lord. In fact, the Catechism tells us that we study and observe Sunday because Sunday is the foundation and kernel of the whole liturgical year. Sunday fulfills the spiritual truth of the Jewish Sabbath and announces man's eternal rest in God. The Sabbath, which represented the completion of the first creation, has been replaced by Sunday, which recalls the new creation inaugurated by the resurrection of Christ. So Sunday replaces the Old Testament Sabbath by fulfilling that rhythm and spirit of God's command to worship and rest every single week. It's similar to Sabbath, but not the same. It's on a different day, and we actually, we are commemorating God's rescue for us from the slavery of sin through Christ's sacrifice. Our perpetual weekly observance includes rest and worship and remembrance of God's saving actions on our behalf in Christ. Instead of that first Passover where he rescued them from Egypt, we're remembering God's rescue from sin for us through Christ. Every week, our daily work continues God's work in history and creation. And so, like him, we rest. Sunday and work are not opposites. They complement one another. Sunday, then, is the crown of our work week. Isn't that cool? Have you ever thought about Sunday that way? So Sunday reflects the Sabbath feast back in the Old Testament, a day of obligation that includes worship and rest, so that part of worship is rest and part of rest is worship. Have you ever thought of those two things as so completely interrelated? I hope it changes your perception of worship some, and Sunday even, because Sunday is meant to be a day of rest. I hope you begin to reorient maybe your week along that line. God uses the workplaces of our daily lives as a primary tool for our spiritual formation. We talked about that before. And Sunday helps reorient us to what God is doing rather than what we've been doing all week. It's an interruption of the work week. In fact, it's a deliberate act of interference. It's a decree of no work. Isn't that awesome? So we can notice and listen to and assimilate the work of God and orient what we're doing in our work to what he's doing on the earth. Wow. I mean, it's so loaded. This idea of Sunday, you know, we go to church, if we even go every week, we go a lot of times like it's a drudgery, and it's just not. It's a gift. So we recall Jesus' work on the cross every single Sunday, and we participate in that supreme work by receiving the Eucharist and by offering our own duties and labors of the whole week in communion with what he has done. If we have to work on Sunday, like our pastors do, Sunday worship remains an obligation. We still have to do it. So we can and we should always set aside another day every week for rest. My pastor rests on Wednesday. So to summarize then, the Old Testament Sabbath feast was the basis of the Old Testament liturgical year. We say the Catechism calls it the foundation and kernel of the liturgical year. For them, it established a day every single week. It was a day of obligation, and it included rest, worship, and remembrance. In Jewish thought, Sabbath teachings of the Old Testament law were prophetic, remember, of the Messianic kingdom, which is what we live in now. So Sabbath foreshadowed our own Sunday, and our Sunday points us toward, as well, that final Messianic promised land of rest, which is beatitude, and heaven with God, where we'll no longer work. And so that's why the book of Hebrews says that today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God is very interested in our rest worship gathering. And he is so interested that he emphasizes it over and over and over on in the scriptures. I'm going to give you several, but so many talk about the gifts of the Sabbath. Isaiah 56:2 says that Sabbath keepers are blessed. Isaiah 56:4 says that there will be an eternal reward. Isaiah 58:13 says that we will experience plenty and greatness in Sabbath keeping. Ezekiel, we read this a minute ago, chapter 20, verses 12 through 26, talk over and over and over about how the Sabbath gives us life. And Isaiah 30, I want to turn there because this is a great one. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, he says something absolutely beautiful about the Sabbath. And if you don't get anything else, I hope that you'll get this. Verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." So I hope that you will consider that Sabbath is a sign and memorial of creativity and power of creation that is able to make everything good. Redemption is the new creation. Redemption is the new promised land, the eventual last Sabbath rest. It's the end of the eternal creative word working to restore all things to himself. We are remembering the Old Testament Sabbath, and we are looking forward to the last Sabbath rest, which is our heavenly rest. Sunday, the Catechism says, is the celebration of the Lord's Day, and his Eucharist is at the heart of the Church's life. Sunday is the day on which the Paschal Mystery is celebrated in light of apostolic tradition and is to be observed as the foremost holy day of obligation in the universal Church. Remember that I felt like I had been put on the shelf when God began to first teach me this principle, and I resisted it. I felt so much to do. But God kept me still and quiet until I really began to practice this discipline for myself and my family. And it took me a couple of months to kind of figure out the rhythm of it. But boy, when I did, I felt like a piglet in a mud puddle. And even now, I schedule my time and my travel so that I do nothing on Sundays but teach religion classes and go to Mass. I do laundry on Saturday, or it waits until Monday. I take naps. I watch movies. I do this every week. Nobody does dishes. Everybody plays and rests. We use it as family time. I give my kids even a free hour of video game time just to make it a celebration for them too. I hope that you'll consider, for the good of your soul and your sanity and your family, to begin guarding your Sundays. What can you do ahead of time during the week to free your Sundays for church and family? Can you clear out your schedule so that your whole day just has nothing in it but worship and Mass and rest? Can you throw your Sunday dinner in the crock pot, maybe on Saturday night? Can you do your grocery shopping and your errands on other days? Can you golf or shop on another day of the week? Can you give chores to your children or your spouse or someone else to keep them from piling up in your head and in your house? Can you turn off your cell phone and your laptops until Sunday at sundown? Can you unplug the phone? When I was in formal church ministry as the director of religious education, I would unplug my phone on a Sunday, because inevitably I would get several calls that had to do with work. And I just learned that I need to discipline myself and guard my Sunday. You too should think about guarding your Sunday so that it is a blessing, so that it is a memorial as it was intended to be, so that it becomes a covenant between you and God, in which God has already given himself to you in Christ. He nourishes you. He has saved you from your sin. He has saved us from hell. He has saved us from our habits that destroy us. Since he has done this and he has given himself so completely to us, can we not give ourselves completely to him one day a week? I think we can. Lord, I sense that you're calling us to a more restful, more reverent Sunday. In all honesty, I am probably experiencing very little mental, emotional, and spiritual rest because I'm not resting very much on Sunday. So one way that I can commit to making my Sunday more of a rest day is, and I hope you fill in that blank, we're going to talk about Passover and Easter in our next time together. But until then, I hope, dear one, that you will consider setting aside Sunday very carefully. It is a gift to you. It's not a duty. It's a gift. Do what you love to do, but make sure that it's restful. And try not to go out and shop and do other things. Because remember, even the cattle and the servants were supposed to rest on Sunday. Now, I'm not saying make this a legalistic rule in which you just do it because it's a drudgery. I want you to consider it as a gift. I hope you'll do that. And I promise you it'll change your life. Because when God began to teach me this, I'm telling you, wherever I am on a Sunday at 2 o'clock, my body knows it's time to take a nap. And it has really changed how restful and de-stressed I am, even in the midst of a busy, busy, busy life. So I pray that for you, dear one. Until next time, this is Sonia Corbett, your personal scriptural evangelista with Catholic Vitamins.
Well, last Sunday, what did you and I do? We took a drive, went out into the countryside, into the wilderness.
Got your car all dirty.
No, but the thing is, Sonia,
we didn't do our podcast on Sunday.
Sonia is such a challenge. I mean, it's really refreshing. She ran long on this segment, but boy, was she ever a great teacher. And she's a great inspiration. I'm so glad she's going to come to Arizona.
We got a lot of people anxious to meet her.
I know. We're going to have to find out about where her venue is so we can try to help publicize it.
Right. I read that feedback from Emily.
Yes,
Indiana.
Yes.
Well, then I just noticed something. Last week on our Facebook page, on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, she posted something and said hi for the, or she was commenting on the May 2014 podcast with Sister Marie Suzanne. And she says she was looking at the photo of the Carmelite nuns in their full habit, and her daughter explains penguins. Kinda? She said, penguins and nuns are both cool. Sometimes I think this little girl will be called to a vocation of religious life. Other times, not really. That was cute. So the nuns, we were publicizing their album, Lean Into the Wind.
Dear, speaking of guests that we've had on the show, you're going to be going to the Catholic Women's Conference down
right.
in Phoenix.
That's why we started the podcast today on Friday, because tomorrow, bright and early before the sun is up, I'm going to be up and out of here to go meet some other ladies in our church parking lot, and we're going to drive down to Phoenix for the 5th annual Phoenix Women's Conference put on by the Council of Catholic Women down there. And one of the speakers this year is Layla Miller, and she was a guest on our podcast back in April of last year.
Dear friends, we are pretty excited about the changes we've made. They're pretty simple to our website, but they're a lot more user-friendly. And so if you'd like to find out when or how to get to that interview with Layla or with Danielle Rose or with any of the other people we've had on the show that you'd like to check on,
you can go into the tab for A to Z Vitamins and look up Wisdom for April 2014. Or you can look up her name, and she's probably listed under
I don't know
bloggers. I don't know if she might be under the bloggers. Her name is Layla. It's pronounced Layla, but it's spelled L-E-I-L-A,
right.
Miller.
Right. All right, dear friends, that is it. Do you have anything else to cover for now? Because I'm anxious to bring up our guest.
Not right now. Go ahead.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, another item that I get to check off on my list. We have as our guest today Heather Anderson Renshaw. She's from the Northwest. She is perhaps self-described as a writer, a speaker, and an uplifter. Heather, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, thank you so much, Deacon Tom. It's so nice to be with you.
We've had bishops on the show. We've had priests, singers, authors. We've never had an uplifter before. So I'm... this is joyful. We've exchanged a couple fun planning emails, and you told me not to make any prank telephone calls, so I've tried to behave, but it's really good to be with you now. And to start the journey of introducing Heather Anderson Renshaw to our listeners. So let's start when you were young, before you maybe had a different last name.
Well, sure. Gosh, that was so long ago. Can I even remember? once upon a time. Well, I grew up in a family of Catholics. My dad actually was a convert to the faith. He was raised as a Methodist by a Methodist mother and a erstwhile Baptist father who I think didn't really particularly care. So he ended up going to the United Methodist Church with his mother, his wife, my dad's mom. And when my dad met my mom, he learned in short order that she had no intention of marrying a Methodist. And, you know, Catholic, I can't date you. I can't marry you. So he was intrigued so much by my mother that back in those days they didn't have the formalized RCIA process that they seem to have at a lot of parishes now, thanks be to God. But back then they didn't. And so unbeknownst to my mom, he went and sought instruction privately with the parish priest and invited my mom to come to the church one day. And she asked why. And it turns out that he was being accepted into full communion with the Catholic Church. So that barrier being down, they started their life together shortly thereafter as a married couple in the Catholic Church. And it took them quite a while for me to come along. In fact, I was adopted as a three-week-old infant. They had difficulty conceiving and infertility issues, which is such a heartbreaking thing for many, many couples. But thanks be to God, the blessing of adoption and the open heart of my biological mother, I was adopted by them at the age of 3 weeks of age. So they are my mom and dad. I don't know any other parents. They raised me, and so they're stuck with me.
Okay. How tender to hear about what your dad did by going to the church himself and preparing to enter the church.
Yes, and you know, it's funny because now as an adult hearing that story, I understand a little bit more about the sacrifice that kind of plays into that, because it turns out that he was really seriously considering going into ministerial role in the Methodist Church. He was the president of the College Methodist Club, and I think his mom thought that he was going to be a Methodist pastor. And so my mom just kind of derailed that whole thing, and he ended up being a convert to the Catholic faith. So rebelled in a different way, I guess.
All right. So what was your upbringing like in the young childhood years, maybe early teen years?
Sure. Well, I did have a younger sister, about five, and she was adopted as well. And, you know, we didn't have a good family life. I had two working parents. So my mom worked full-time and my dad worked full-time. They were both teachers for a long, long time until my dad decided to change careers for stability purposes. But because I think of the time that they were married, I believe they were married in 68, and gosh, now they're probably listening and they'll be like, Harry, you need to know these things. We're not our anniversary. I know it was June 15th. But it was after Vatican II Council, and there were a lot of changes happening within the church, and they got very involved with folk music, the folk group. They both played guitar and sang, and they were involved with Marriage Encounter, and they were involved with the Charismatic Renewal. So in my household growing up, we had prayer groups, and we had Life in the Spirit seminars, and we had my mom and dad who didn't leave right after Mass or after communion. We stayed, and I would be like, you know, Mom, Dad, let's go. Let's get out of here. You know, we would shut the place down. So it was a very rich and full community life. And I went to Catholic school because my mom taught at the school. So I was able to go to Catholic school from grades 1 through 5. We moved right before 6th grade, and that's when things kind of changed. My mom had some health issues at that time, and it was difficult for her to maintain a balance medically with her hormones because of the situation with her health. And so it was a very dark time in our family where she would forget things, and her anger was definitely a problem. And she doesn't even remember some of the chunks of time during my adolescence, but it was very, very difficult. I was a very headstrong person, a headstrong and willful child, but it just seemed like it grew to be more so as a teenager. And I rebelled, and I still was going to Mass. I still was going to youth groups, but it felt like God was very, very far away. The one thing that I did know, though, deep in my heart, even though I was at odds with my mother a lot of the time during my teenage years, I did know that she was praying for me. And so even though I didn't necessarily embrace the entire lifestyle of the Catholic faith with my full will, if you will, I still knew that my mother was praying for me. And that was a common thread throughout my upbringing and my life.
Well, I read someplace that you had some wayfaring years. I don't know if those are your words or not, but what does that mean to the extent that you want to share? Did you stop?
My wayfaring years, yes. we'll put it this way. I really love Saint Augustine.
Oh, amen, amen.
I love him. Yeah, I really can relate to him. The prodigal son, all of these different things. You know, when I was raised in this very kind of a strict household, I mean, I definitely was able to have experiences. They really were, both of my parents wanted us girls to have lots of experiences. And so we would go camping and we would go hiking and we would go to the museum and do all these things. But there was a very strict moral code. And so when I went away to college, you know, all of a sudden, there was no mom and dad there to say, you know, you need to be home by such and so a time, and you need to not be hanging out with such and so people. And I was really, you know, what they say is that when you're searching for God, you try to find him in all different kinds of places.
Sure.
And so I did definitely have several years where I was seeking for God, but I was seeking for him in all the wrong places. And I did stop going to Mass in my college years to my lasting regret. But I definitely can relate to those people who have had those times away, I think, in a much different way than I ever could have had I just stayed. And so I truthfully, Deacon Tom, I consider myself a revert. I consider myself not just a cradle Catholic, but I consider myself a revert because I feel like it wasn't until I grew up a little bit and wised up a little bit, and I don't think I ever really had a super rock bottom situation, thanks be to God, but I definitely saw some dark things and experienced and lived through some hurts, and I think that my guardian angel was just scrambling the whole time, and I think that, but, you know, once I... Hopefully, please, Jesus, I'll make it to heaven. My guardian angel will just sit down and go, thank God.
Okay, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah. You know, just if you'll allow me to interrupt your time on our show, I was going through reversion number 2, if you will, when I was in formation in Denver for becoming a deacon. And we, for 2 years, for 2 different types of classes, we studied Confessions of St. Augustine. And, you know, I've wept or been teary-eyed about many of the things that he wrote about. Excuse me. And, yeah, so I relate to what you were saying about St. Augustine. And thanks be to God for his divine mercy and his grace, which helps us to return to the path that we should be on.
Amen.
So What happened in your reversion? Did something start to spark it?
Well, you know, this is actually something that God, I don't really know except how to explain it except for to just tell you, Deacon Tom. I wrote about this, and it's going to be posted as a devotional for the very first time in the month of March. And I've never spoken publicly about it before, nor have I written about it. So if I start crying, you just make up something and you know, we'll play some music. But when I was in my early 20s, and my sister was still in high school, my mom was trying to get us to go on this family trip, you know, one last family trip before we all went off and got married or did ever, whatever it was we were going to be doing with our lives, to Wyoming. And I really didn't want to go. I was not a very engaged member of the family at that time. I was pretty much into my own thing. I just wanted to, you know, find the next party and hang out with the cool people and, you know, who I thought were cool. And just, you know, kind of find my fun in whatever there was to be had. So I was not really, I was a very reluctant participant in this family trip. But I said, okay, fine, you know, change of scenery. Maybe I'll find a cute boy there. Who knows? They can have those in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, I'm sure.
Sure.
We ended Right. I went on the trip with the family, and my mom and dad said, we're going to go on this hike. This was the second to last day of the trip. They said, we're going to go on this hike. And I said, not another hike. I don't want to go on another hike. I'm just going to stay here. And they said, well, you know, if you don't come with us, you're not going to be able to exchange some of those things that you purchased and wanted to turn in and get something else. And I said, oh, that's fine. I'll figure it out. You know, very, very stubborn, very strong-willed. So long story short, Deacon Tom, I walked a grand total of 16 miles round trip in Teva sandals, which are rafting sandals, because I didn't want to wear my tennis shoes because I had already started to develop a tan line, and I didn't want to ruin my tan line. So I walked all the way into Jackson Hole on my own and back, and I didn't have a clue that it was 16 miles.
Gosh.
And I had never walked more than probably 2 or 3 miles, you know, maybe 5, never, ever. That was horrible. So needless to say, my legs popped back to me. I could barely walk the next day. We ended up going to a hotel. I was just exhausted. I could barely walk. I was mad at myself. I was mad at my parents. I was mad at the world. I was at a very all-time low as far as my life was going. You know, things were not turning out the way that they should turn out. And when I was a young girl and I was restless and not able to sleep, my mom would tell me that I should imagine that I was sitting in a field under a tree on Jesus' lap and that he was just loving me. And as much as I was in a rebellious state of mind, I was desperate. I was so tired and I hurt so badly. I'm just like, fine, I'll just pretend like I'm sitting on Jesus' lap, whatever. I'll just do that, and maybe I'll finally go to sleep, and my legs will stop hurting. So while I was sitting on his lap, and again, this is all just my own experience, and so I would ask that the Holy Spirit allow the listeners to determine for themselves, and they can just, if they feel that it's heretical, hopefully they'll just skip forward a few minutes. But I really felt like the voice of God was saying to me, why don't you know how much I love you? And I was shocked because at the time it really sounded kind of like a voice actually speaking to me. Like it wasn't just inside of my head. It seemed like it was happening. Wow. And I looked to my left and my sister was sleeping asleep on the bed next to me because we were sharing a bed. My parents were in another double bed in the hotel room and they were sound asleep. So it was not them who were speaking to me. And I was like, what is going on? And he said, I love you, and I forgive you. I have, you know, was what I did on the cross not good enough for you? And he wasn't saying it in a condemning way. He was saying it in a very tender way, but also in a very firm way. And he said, I have put your sins as far from you as the east is from the west. And yet you continue to try to carry that around with you as baggage on your journey. Mm-hmm. And then he said, rejoice and be free. And he just kept saying that over and over. And it was so strange because all of a sudden, all this like noise in my mind started coming in. Like, and I can't even really explain that, what that means, but it's like that message of rejoice and be free was just on a loop, you know, like he was just trying to say it over and over so I would never forget it. And I never have. I have never forgotten that. And I'd like to say that I returned immediately to the sacraments and I went to adoration and I, you know, just emptied my soul to a priest, but it didn't exactly happen that way. But that was the beginning of my return to Jesus Christ and his church.
Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. Mm.
And that's the first time that I've ever told that out loud to anyone other than my mom and dad and a couple of very close friends and my spiritual director. So there you have it, folks.
Bless you, Heather. Bless you. How beautiful to hear that. Can you jump forward a little bit? How much time would by before, let's say, you return to the fullness of faith practice?
It was probably after I started living on my own. That was in 1997, and I started going back to Mass, and I started to listen to good Catholic teaching. You know, one of the things, I grew up in the 80s, and it was great for Jesus Loves You, and the charismatic renewal was great for Jesus Loves You, and I knew in my heart that Jesus loved me, but somewhere along the line, I wasn't really strongly catechized. I had never heard of adoration before I became an adult living on my own. And to me, it's not that somebody hadn't said anything about it, it just didn't click on my radar what that was. And it's not that I didn't believe that Jesus was in the Eucharist, it's just I didn't really have a very mature and solid understanding of that. So as I was living on my own, I left home finally after coming back from college for a little while in 1999. And that was when I started working for some fundamentalist Protestant Christians who were very, very lovely and good people, but they had very, very mixed up ideas about what the Catholic Church taught. And sadly, you know, they would ask me questions because I still identified, even, you know, albeit a little bit shakily, I self-identified as Roman Catholic. And so they said, oh, where do you go to church? And I say, well, Holy Trinity, because that was my parish. And they said, well, doesn't the church teach blah, 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 you know, all the different cliche misunderstandings about worshiping Mary and the Pope is the leader of the church and, you know, you have to go through a man. Why do you have to go through a man to have your sins forgiven? All of those things that you hear. And so I would get on the phone and I would call my mom and I would say, Mom, this is what they're saying that our church teaches. And I know that's not true, but what does our church teach? And she says, you need to start reading catechism, Heather. You need to know. And she was actually very sad because she didn't realize that I didn't know some of these things. And I think she still feels kind of badly about it, but I've made up for it. So sorry, Mom, but we're all good now. But I really was challenged in my faith by my employer. And, you know, it sounds kind of weird because, you know, there's supposed to be that delineation of not talking about the workplace. But this was a small business, and it wasn't a big deal. And I was threatened, and it wasn't like they said, you have to convert or we're going to fire you, that sort of thing. But it really challenged me, and I had to go and look for some answers. And so I started listening to the local Catholic radio station, and that was pretty much all I listened to for a long time. And I listened to Catholic Answers and some of the other EWTN programming, and I thought, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. How come I never knew this before? Mm-hmm. And I began to fall in love with my church again, because really growing up, I was in love with my church. I was in love with the community. I was in love with, you know, the priest. We had beautiful Capuchin friars at my parish growing up, but I didn't really have the understanding that was rooted in something that would last for some reason. And maybe, you know, I take that on myself. I know that that's my own fault. I had my own free will and I chose to leave, but I also chose to come back. And now that I'm back, and I've been back for several years, and we've just, as a married couple, my husband and I, have continued to grow and to grow and to grow and to try and impart this beautiful faith upon our five children. It's just, I feel like I have to tell everybody, you know, I have to tell them about divine mercy. I have to tell them about the Eucharist, you know, the Jesus's presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so, you know, I'm not a quiet Catholic. I'm a flaming, raging, tell anybody who will talk to me about it Catholic.
Praise God. Praise God.
Too much, but I cannot be quiet, you know? I just can't. It's not in my character. So I'm glad I'm being loud for the right reasons now. You know, thanks be to God.
I'm sitting at my desk as we're spending our time together, and right, I don't know, 4 feet from me on the wall, I have a large framed print of Divine Mercy. And I looked at that and was smiling gently as you were telling the latter part of your story. And so I'm made tender by listening to your story. Where did you say this is going to appear?
I write once a month or so for an apostolate call, and it's a Catholic group of Catholic women who write devotionals based on the daily readings. So if one of your listeners was interested, we've got a lot of women who are very interested in this. It's the English Standard Version. It's the EWTN version of the readings. It comes straight to their email. And then after the readings, there is a short, I'd say probably 300 to 500 word devotional at the end of that email, so that they can listen a little bit more attentively to what God is saying to them through His Word. So this particular devotion that I wrote, that was, you know, the kind of the Reader's Digest version of my testimony that I just shared with you, it comes out in March, the beginning of March. So,
blessedishe.net. I'm sorry, I just talked over you giving the website address. Give it to us again.
Oh, that's no problem. It's blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, is she, altogether, .net.
Okay, N-E-T. Great. All right, we'll put that on our Facebook.
Together by a woman in Arizona. There's a lady in Arizona who started it. Her name is Jenna Guizar, and she lives in Arizona. So,
well, just keep giving us ideas for future shows. This is wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How joyous I was when you so quickly said that you would be willing to come on the show and to spend time with us. And it's been a blessing so far. I believe your husband's name is David. Where did he come in the picture?
Oh, David, beloved of God, right? That's what David means. Beloved of God, beloved of Heather. We met on that same place that I was telling you that I worked with the fundamentalist Protestant Christians, who, by the way, I'm still in touch with the woman, the wife who ran that business. She's an amazing woman. Someday she's going to be Catholic, I'm telling you. I was working a lot of hours, and I was really lonely, and I was realizing that as I was going deeper into my faith, that I really was not interested in meeting anybody in a bar or, you know, some of the other places that you might meet people as a young person. And so I actually, and this was, you know, probably before it was as socially acceptable as it seems like it is now. It was 14 years ago, I met David on an online Catholic dating site called matchmaker.com/Catholic, and I don't even know if it still exists, because frankly I'm married and I shouldn't be on a site like that. But that's how we met. He was working in the film and television business in Los Angeles, and I was living here in Portland, Oregon, and I had no desire to live in Hollywood. No desire at all. Because I figured, well, you know, if we're ever gonna have any kids, I don't want them to live there. I'd rather they live in the wholesome Pacific Northwest, which, by the way, is the most unchurched state and area in the nation. But,
I think there's good reason why you're there.
Yeah, maybe so. I hope so. I hope God will use us in whatever way He sees fit. But so we met online, and it was interesting because when I met him in person for the first time, we talked on the phone a couple of times, and I thought, the first thing that I thought was, wow, I really like his voice. he's got a very deep baritone and very sonorous voice. And I just thought, you know, because I have a musical background, and I thought, ooh, I could listen to that voice all day.
Oh, my.
I fell in love with David's voice first.
Well, you've got me red in the face, but we'll move along. You married, and you are now parents of, is it five children?
We do. We have five children. And if you would have ever told that girl back in, you know, the 90s or early 2000s that she was going to have five children, she would have said, ha, ha, ha. I would have laughed. Mm-hmm. I still laugh about it. God has a wonderful sense of humor.
All right. Now, where are you writing? If any place besides Blessed Be She, where are you writing?
Blessed Is She. Well, I have, I'm just now starting to, I was writing on a blog, realcatholicmom.com, but we recently moved, and I kind of put that on the side for a little while so that I could focus on our move back, because we moved to Alabama for a while, and we just moved back in November to the Pacific Northwest. But I also am looking at incorporating some of my writing into heatherrenshaw.com, which is my website that's still under construction, but maybe by the time a listener hears this, it will be fully functional, fully operational. But my time of I was a writer from a very young age. I used to always write little stories and poems, and always thought that I would put together my own magazine as a child, and kind of went away from writing for fun. And then I think she's a mutual friend, you know, Cheryl Decow.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, of Bezalel Books. She was a guest on the radio show that my husband was on in Alabama. And I had an idea for a little coffee table humorous book about being, you know, what is with family, since I had all these kids, you know, things that were just kind of funny and amusing. And I heard the interview that David and his co-host Todd did with Cheryl, and she was the only Catholic publisher that I really thought, well, maybe she would listen to me. And so I pitched her this book, right? Well, nothing ever came of that, but it came time for her to revamp a book that she had done called All Things Girl, Truth for Teens. And she emailed me, and ironically, her email ended up in my junk folder. I don't know how that happened, but I was going through my junk one day, and I'm like, what is this? Cheryl Decow, I remember that name. And she was asking me if I would contribute a chapter to her revised edition of All Things Girl, Truth for Teens. And so I thought, me? I haven't written anything in years. You know, how would you even think that I'm a writer? And she said, I don't know. I just know that God is telling me that I need to have you write a chapter. I'm like, okay, who am I to argue with God? So I said yes, and I wrote a chapter, and that really kind of was the impetus for me to start writing again. And it's not easy to find time to write with five small children and a husband and a wife, but I do enjoy doing it when it happens. I enjoy it a lot. So I've got one book that I'm working on right now on my own, and then there's another thing that I'm working on with a friend that will hopefully come out in the next year or so. So I don't know. I just want to be open to wherever God is calling me. I don't want to leave any of my music that's inside of me unplayed.
Amen. Amen. Cheryl Decow is a guest columnist on Catholic Vitamins for, I think, just about 2 years. And we're very close friends, and she has been very helpful to Catholic Vitamins. So I'm so glad that you've brushed paths with her, and maybe something will happen there sometime if it's meant to be. Are you doing any speaking, Heather?
Well, interestingly enough, yes, I have a mini retreat that's coming up on Saturday here locally for some of the parish moms. We're doing a preparation for Lent, so the moms can come for a few hours and take some time and space to think about what God is calling them to this Lenten season? And of course, the answer is he's calling them to himself. but that my friend Sterling will be doing that with me. And then the next thing after that will probably be the Catholic Women Rejoice Conference. We're in our fourth year, and it will be an evening this time around. We're launching all of our publicity tomorrow, which is February, Friday the 13th, which is a lovely day. It's the day that I met my husband, the day he was born, and the day that our eldest daughter was born. So we love Friday the 13th at my house.
All right. Well, Heather, I would really like to continue with this, but I did promise, to respect all the demands that you have of family, and it is the evening as we're spending this time together. Should we dare tell people that you've gone out into a secret hideout to do this?
I am sitting in my minivan right now on the driveway outside of my house. This is my office, people. It's glamorous. Don't be jealous. I think there might be other moms who could relate.
Yeah, probably so.
Sometimes
probably
it's hard to get quiet.
All right. If somebody wanted to reach you, could they do it through Real Catholic Mom?
Absolutely. Yes. They could email me realcatholicmom@gmail.com, or I have a contact form at Real Catholic Mom, and there'll probably be things up real soon at heatherrenshaw.com as well. And I'd love to hear from anybody. I'm all about connecting with other women, especially in the community.
Once again, our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been a delightful Heather Anderson Renshaw from the Northwest, sitting inside of a minivan. If the police come by, I just don't know what they're going to make of this, but you can give them my number and I'll vouch for the fact that you are legitimate sitting there. And thanks so very much for coming on the show and sharing your testimony and your faith journey. And I hope we're able to stay in touch. And if you do write a book or a couple of them, will you remember Catholic Vitamins?
Oh, absolutely. Nick and Tom, thank you so much for even asking me. I've been so delighted to be with you. My pleasure and blessing. Thank you.
We'll keep you in our prayers. God bless.
Thank you. You too. God bless you.
Heather, thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins, and I'm so delighted that you agreed to do that and that you shared your faith journey, which was inspiring and touching in parts. I hope we're able to work together some more. We'll be talking about that. Dear.
We heard from Italy.
Did we?
Our friend Joe in Italy said, thank you, Deacon Tom, for the birthday wishes. I was expecting roses. 21 would have been fine. Maybe next year. Sounds to me like you were doing some teasing again.
Well, speaking of teasing, Tiffany Walsh, I think, where is she? Is she up in the Northwest? I can't remember where she is right at the moment. She recently had a birthday, and I said something about her getting some flowers for me and some chocolates or something. And she wanted to know if we're going to the CNMC, the Catholic New Media Conference.
Well, I would really like to go.
Which is in June.
It's been a few years since we've been able to do that.
And it's in Atlanta this year, which is where all that got started.
I'm not spending time in Atlanta. That's why. And it's on the tail of the Eucharistic Congress there. Tail end of that. I would even like to go for the Eucharistic Congress.
Well, Tiffany, I don't think I'm going to be able to go because of this radio project that I'm working on for our community. But I don't know about Dee. Maybe she'll keep pestering me and maybe it'll happen.
Yeah, maybe I can go and represent us.
Take some Catholic Vitamins bumper stickers and
Speaking of that,
yes?
you said you ordered some more bumper stickers.
Well, you know,
the Eucharist bumper
sticker. We have the Eucharist bumper sticker, which says the Eucharist, Christ's real presence. And we've had a lot of comment about those. and a lot of people willingly put them on their cars, and I've ordered some new ones.
So if anybody listening who hasn't gotten one in the past and would like one, just send us an email at catholicvitamins@gmail.com and just put in the subject line, bumper sticker.
Dee, I think you better say goodbye.
Well, I don't want to say goodbye yet.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What do you have?
I want to welcome a new member to
our
Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, Patricia Quigley. And she wrote back, or she posted back, thank you, as for me, Cradle Catholic, Eucharistic minister, lector, church newsletter editor, freelancer for diocesan newspaper. She is a busy lady.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Well, thank you for joining the Friends of Catholic Vitamins. Dee, do you want to say goodbye now?
Are you trying to get rid of me?
No. I just know that this is all the contribution that we're going to have on the show.
It probably is. I mean, you're probably going to have to do the rest of the podcast by yourself. So,
all right.
Okay, I'll say goodbye.
Well, bless you. Be safe traveling 90 miles down to the Catholic Women's Conference. Enjoy it, and then come back perhaps next week.
Report next week.
Yeah. All right, dear. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Our family had been going through crisis. Little by little, we just found ourselves drifting completely away. I was afraid to go back. I mean, I cried the first time I received the sacraments again. Cried because I was back and because I had allowed God to become a part of me again. It's united our family. There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
I think that spot from Catholics Come Home is really at the heart of what was on our mind when we picked Genesis as the vitamin for this show. Sort of also speaks to why we had Heather Anderson Renshaw as our guest. And up next, we are so pleased and happy to let you know that Justin Stroh is back with us for another visit on Catholic Vitamins, speaking about Genesis.
Duke and Altum.
Hello, this is Justin, and welcome to this new evangelization. In the beginning was the Word, and then there was a lie, and many people have bought the lie and are afraid of the Word. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us to teach us, to guide us, to say to us, do not be afraid. You know, fear is really what keeps us from wanting to give our lives for other people, right? Think about it. How many times have you been invited by our Lord to die to yourself and to live like the real life? Not just to live in this world, but to live of the next world. And that's the life in the Holy Spirit that God wants each one of us to be fully living, to receive, to yield to what he wants to do in our hearts and minds by the power that he gives us through our baptism. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. In Lent, I believe what's happening is we're intensifying our desire to more fully receive that Holy Spirit who so personally loves us and guides us in our hearts and our minds if we but listen to him. I need to become more quiet. I need to lower myself, not because I'm worthless, but because I'm worth full, because God has given me the measure that I need and that I am supposed to give to other people. This isn't just for me. It's for everyone. That's what the new evangelization is about really awakening this sense of what the Holy Spirit has already done in the life of the faithful or the not-so-faithful, and guiding them to a full life. And then it happens. The parish explodes and begins to become an amazing parish. And trust me, there are spirits of the world that do not want that to happen. And when it's happening, he's going to try to come and beat it all down through discouragement, through disorder, through sin. So let us get on our knees and repent and realize that God wants a new beginning in the Catholic Church. So let us yield our tongues when we come to the liturgy. Let us yield to praise when we begin the sacred liturgy. we begin with the Gloria after we repent. And in the Gloria, what's happening is we're professing a deep belief in the Holy Trinity. This is the genesis of all life, where we are meant to reside and where we're meant to proceed from. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. That litany of praise at the beginning of the liturgy teaches us how to go about beginning the new evangelization in every little part and large part of our parish life.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Okay, well, I've heard from Dee. She's down in the valley for the Catholic Women's Conference in Phoenix. She reminds me to do a couple things. We're in the second week of promoting Lifeboat Coffee. We have a full pound of Lifeboat Coffee as a completely free gift from our previous guest and the founder of Lifeboat Coffee Company. And all you have to do is send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and just put Lifeboat Coffee as the subject. And in another week or so, in March, we'll do a drawing for sending out 3 pounds of Lifeboat Coffee. So hurry up and get that in. And Dee reminded me that we want to do a plug for the upcoming vitamin. There's a special reason for you to join us next week, but you can take a guess for the vitamin. Starts with an H and ends with a Y. Starts with an H, ends with a Y, and it has 8 letters. 8 letters. So send your guess in to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, the same one that you did for the Lifeboat Coffee. And we will put any correct guesses into a basket and do a drawing and pull a name. Send something out nice. So once again, thanks to Heather for coming on Catholic Vitamins. She writes, I think she said, once a month at blessedisshe.net. So you might go over and take a look for her work there. And there's some other wonderful authors as well. And I think that kind of wraps up the show. If I've forgotten anything, Dee will give me a reminder and we'll try to catch up on it next week. Once again, a special show next week. And join us for Vitamin H next time. Until then, may the Lord be with you, bless you, and remind you of the genesis of when faith became real for you. Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.